Colin Cowles, can we get an AI cricket team? They don't have to be physically present. They don't have to go all that way to humiliate themselves. They can just humiliate themselves virtually, I wonder.
Indeed, while this match is live and ongoing, there are AIs busy crunching the likelihoods of South Africa winning, and the number has been steadily trending downwards from 50% after the first ball was bowled, and it's sitting somewhere around 2% at the moment. And I suppose you could argue what you just demonstrated before we started talking was a little bit of artificial intelligence anyway, with you desperately using some of the screen's information there to give us some details of what's going on. But we are looking to discuss artificial intelligence, which is the sort of buzzword. When we first picked that up on about a year ago, it was just that. There was just hype about it. These days, you're more likely to call it machine learning. And I think that is appropriate as well. So for the rest of our conversation, I'm gonna refer to it more as machine learning.
I like that. I like that analogy. We get to talk about machine learning on The Money Show, which is brought to you by Nedbank. Looking at money from every angle leads to better money decisions. See money differently. Nedbank. So tell me then about machine learning, Colin, because machines have been learning for some time. I mean, Deep Blue was the IBM computer that Gary Kasparov played chess against, and he started by beating Deep Blue, and Deep Blue whipped his butt.
I'm glad you mentioned that one, because that was a machine that was still being programmed. The machine learning has come subsequent to that. And part of the reason why we call it machine learning is because it used to be machine programming. We needed to explain what chess was, how chess pieces moved, what to do in certain circumstances, and then let the machines do lots and lots of simulations to say, if he does this, then I'll do that. If he does this, I'll do that. And Deep Blue did get very good, and in 1997, it beat Garry Kasparov. But just to stick with the sort of chess analogy, Google's DeepMind has got a version it built called Alpha Zero. It was only told that in the game of chess, these are the pieces and these are how they can move. And the objective is to make it so that the king cannot move. Checkmate the king. It was given a couple of hours, and then it took on the world's best, a chess computer called Stockfish. And in 100 matches that it played against Stockfish, it either drew or beat the machine. It had no idea what chess was. It had just found out what it was early that day, and no human told it how to play a single move. That's the difference between machine programming, explain it everything, and machine learning, leave the machine because it is very, very powerful to do things over and over and over again, very, very quickly, to come at it a better outcome. And it's actually the basis, or the culmination, really, of some very clever maths and statistical models that were built in the 50s. But it took all this time for machines to get powerful enough to be able to run that kind of computations. And then these days, mobile phones, scooping up huge amounts of information that we can give to the machines to say, okay, I need you to work out what a bee is and how does it differ from, you know, a flower. And unless we've got millions and millions of pictures for a machine to say, is this a flower? Is this a flower? Is this a bee? It really couldn't do that in the past. And there's almost very few areas of our lives now where to some degree an AI, a machine learned sort of algorithm, isn't replacing a human programmed algorithm in order to improve our interactions with things. And one of the ways that and the reason why I'm picking up on it is, you know, in the past there was a question of if business needed to be considered using this. I think that has now passed, and the question is how business should best be using this. And the challenge is not to say because you use it in business, you will succeed, because you will apply it poorly, or you'll spend too much on it, or it will not be the thing that assists you for what you need to do. If you ask a bad question and apply machine learning, you can still get bad answers. So this doesn't take anything away from, you know, us still needing to ask very good questions. Your interrogations this evening about what should the South African government, the Reserve Bank, focus on the economy. You don't give it that at AI and somehow you get a wonderful answer. You still need to work out what the good question is, where the data is that's going to give us the best result. And then the machines will get us closer to something that'll be, you know, something that we can work with. And to gauge people's sorts of thinking on this, PwC earlier this year, as part of a survey that it does every year, included 5 questions to get a sense of how optimistic CEOs in particular were about artificial intelligence. And one of the questions from that, I'm going to ask you the 5 as well, so you'll get a sense. I asked it ahead of the show, asking people, do you think that, or do you agree that AI will become as smart as humans? Can I ask you if your options are strongly disagree, don't know, agree, or strongly agree? Those are the 5 options.
Here's the problem. I mean, what does smart mean? I mean, does smart mean emotional intelligence? Because if that's the case, then I don't think they'll develop emotional intelligence. I can't see emotional intelligence being developed by machines. So I would therefore quite strongly disagree based on my interpretation of the question.
And I think you're completely right with that. But this is potentially the disconnect, which is why, again, artificial intelligence was a bad name. Machine learning is a good one, because in this particular question, for the people, 50-odd, who replied to the poll on Twitter this evening, 30% said strongly agree, and the balance of them were 28% would agree. So 58% saying yes, and the balance saying either don't know or disagree. And that's kind of a worry, because the CEOs that were polled here, right around the world, all different sectors, actually all came out pretty positive for many of these things as well. So I'm going to continue with the rest of those questions. I'm going to say that you answered in that one, strongly disagree, correct?
I disagree. I disagree.
Disagree. The next one is, do you agree AI will have a larger impact on the world than the internet revolution?
I strongly agree.
Strongly agree. Question number three then is, do you agree AI is good for society?
It's such a loaded question.
It is.
It's like the day I asked Wede Mantashe whether Zapiro was good for democracy, and then I let him hang for 2 minutes while he giggled, and I just let him hang. This was in a public audience, and eventually he had to concur that Zapiro was good for democracy. So if Zapiro is good for democracy, AI is good for society, probably.
Probably
is not one of the answers.
Well, I'm going to take that as an agree. Even if it's the closest to it.
Yeah.
And here's a tough one. Do you agree AI will eliminate human bias such as gender bias?
I suppose it's feasible. I mean, if the computer doesn't know your gender, then it can't have a bias unless somehow we answer questions differently, different genders. I don't know. How's
that? Yep, you can absolutely say you don't know. In fact, good for you for saying don't know, because so many people, when faced with questions they don't have answers to, they assume, well, I don't want to say I don't know, so they come and make up something, which just generally gets into more.
Yeah, problems. I just don't know whether again, there's lots of debate and discussion around men and women's brains work differently. We do react differently, broadly speaking, in different scenarios. Therefore, we may answer questions differently. Maybe a machine can learn that men and women answer questions differently, and therefore can, if it is truly learning, and because human beings are inputting all the information and there are human biases being used in the development of machine learning, then the machine can develop those biases too, surely.
You'll be surprised what I would argue is the correct answer there, but you're not on the wrong track, but it is a slightly different sort of way of approaching it. Your final one, though, is, do you agree AI will displace more jobs than it creates in the long run?
No, I disagree. Look, every industrial revolution till now has created new opportunities. I mentioned the guy who invented the spreadsheet, the electronic spreadsheet earlier.
Yes, great story.
I've lost his name now. But anyway, he was deeply concerned that he was going to put bookkeepers out of work, because in those days, accountants sat in 30-meter-long rooms, desk behind desk, like a schoolroom, and sort of filled in longhand spreadsheets. And then he invented the electronic spreadsheet, and all that did was take bookkeepers and made them even better bookkeepers and better accountants, and made them faster and more efficient and taking on more clients, and the economy grew and things were fabulous. So I'm hoping that is hope. But what are the answers?
Well, in this case, it's a fantastic illustration, because, again, when machines can do things better than us and things that, you know, we don't like doing, then give it to a machine. That's the classic 3Ds, things that are dull, that are dangerous, or that are, I keep forgetting one of the 3Ds. I'll come back to that one. Anyway, Bruce, your score turned out to be an underwhelming 10. Now, I wouldn't say that was bad, because that's the exact same score as I got. But we are 1 point off. We're 1 point more pessimistic than the global average, which was 11. China's CEOs came out as the most optimistic with a score of 31. The Russians were the least optimistic with a score of 2. South Africa comes sort of mid-table. We had 16. And our contemporaries here in Africa is Kenya. They came out at 20. So that's the kind of range. And for the most part, the numbers have generally all been positive, but tended to be, for some countries, more positive than they should be, for the reasons you sort of highlighted there. The definitions of intelligence are not agreed, so we can't say that. The issue around bias, for example, most of the data that gets used initially actually shows the biases, because we're so often unaware of our own biases. There was one, for example, that said, what would be a good person to hire for a university position teaching highly skilled subjects like machine learning? And it said it would be a male. And they said, well, on what basis was it choosing that? And of course, it wasn't basing it on anything being male. It's that most men or most people in those positions that had been hired, i.e. the data it had to work with, were men that had been hired, either because we were selectively choosing to hire men, or there was just an aberration in the data. There weren't many women applying, so most of the candidates were men, and so as a result of it, most of the appointments were men. So what it does allow us to do is not fix the bias or get rid of it, but at least highlight where that bias does exist. Step one, at least, in addressing it. And we do absolutely have those biases. The machines will apply the biases if the data we give it is problematic. But once we start cleaning up the data, if we find a way to clean up the data, then that's a win for us to be able to do that. And the whole point of me wanting to raise this with yourself and anybody that's listening is, again, so what do I do now? How do I approach this in my business? And it's kind of very difficult to try and address all of this in the time we have available. So what we've done is we've taken the head of digital here at Prime Media Broadcasting, somebody who has done these artificial intelligence courses and himself has begun taking the huge volume of information that we get sent as radio stations with callers and SMSs and everything else, and crunching through those numbers to help us make better shows. And so there is a special three-part sort of podcast created with him explaining what all the various versions of this is, because initially it is very difficult to get your head around generative adversarial networks and regressions. And then you're like, aha, aha moment. And so he'll talk you through that. Then he'll tell you how you can apply it and some actual case studies that you might be able to say, right, I'm ready to go and apply this in my own business, which hopefully after this conversation, somebody's ready to go and do.
What's the podcast called?
A Word on Artificial Intelligence.
A word, just one. it's going to be an interesting three-part podcast series, but thank you, Colin Cuz. A Word on Artificial Intelligence. I think they should have called it A Word on Machine Learning, but that's just us. Colin Cuz with Business Unusual on this Wednesday night.